Everybody. אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה אל כל ישראל בעבר הירדן. The show is going to be to רפואה שלמה of John Chaya Masri בת שרה סילביה. Okay. All right, this we're standing a few days before Tisha B'Av, and this parsha always falls around this area. And there are a lot of discussion about the beginning of the parsha. Because if you see, it's written, Ele advarim, those are the words. And it's not written a ve. Normally, it will be ve. And when there is no ve, it means there's a new issue. It's something new, it's not no connection with what was before. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, those are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now this brings us to a big discussion. How can it be the words of Moshe Rabbeinu when we all know that the whole Torah was given to us from God? And if anybody says that even one letter is not from God, is a kofer, is a apikoros. So how can we even say that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who wrote Sefer Dvorim? So there are a few terutzim on this, a few answers on this question. One of them is that Ele Advarim. Good evening. It's okay. Ele advarim. He says that those are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu, through the years, he gave rebuke to Am Yisrael, because we're talking here about rebuke, which is also another interesting point. And now, before he dies and before he gives the job to the next generation, and before Am Yisrael are going into Eretz Yisrael, because this is the whole idea of Sefer Dvarim, which is called Mishneh Torah. The whole Sefer Dvarim is really a book that concentrates inside all what the laws that are in, has got connection to living here in Eretz Israel. And Moshe Rabbeinu, through the 40 years in the desert, here and there, wanted to say things to Am Yisrael, maybe he said them. And now, God the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now I want you to write them down. So in other words, the words are from Moshe Rabbeinu, but God is now telling him to write it down the way God wants it to be written. Personally, I didn't like this excuse so much, because we still have difficulty. So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu, his ideas are really at the level of God. But this brings us to an unbelievable terutz to what's happening here. If you remember, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Pe el pe adaber bo. Mouth to mouth I will talk through him, in him. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, who is speaking?
Hashem
is speaking. Now, this is also very difficult, because brings us to our friends that believe in Jesus, which they say Jesus is the Son of God, he is God, whatever. But if we say Moshe Rabbeinu is talking in the words of God, we have to be very careful the way we say it. The idea is very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu got to such a high level that whatever he was speaking was Torah. It's like you talk with a Talmid Chacham, he answers you through the Torah. He doesn't answer you normal answers. In other words, whatever he speaks is the words of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu also got to a level, Pe el Pe adaber bo. God is talking through him. In other words, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says is things that he got from Kodesh Baruch Hu. But he's saying them. But who really says them? Or who told him all those things? The Kodesh Baruch Hu. So in other words, Ele Advarim is showing us that Moshe Rabbeinu got to the, let's say, the highest level that a human being can get, while he, like, really, whatever he says is the words of God. And this explains Ele Advarim Asher Diber Moshe. Of course, there are a lot of other terutzim that try to explain what's going on here, but we want to go and talk about something else. Talking about rebuke, talking about Tisha B'Av, what is the idea of Tisha B'Av? And by the way, in our parsha, says the Midrash Rabbah on Eicha, the Megillah that we're going to read on Motzei Shabbos Bezrat Hashem, maybe it's going to change and we'll read something else on Beth Hamikdash, Alevai, Bezrat Hashem. But says the Midrash Rabbah in Eicha Ptichta, Eicha Yashva, Shlosha Nitnab'u Bilshon Eicha. There were three prophets that talked and with the same word eicha. Eicha is how, but if you want to get a better explanation, it's a very interesting word. Eicha, you can say ayeka. Where are you? In other words, a human being has to stop here and there and says, where are you? What are you doing in this world? Are you going in the right way or, chas v'chalila, you're in the wrong way? Ayeka, where is the Jew inside you? Where is your neshama? How could you do those things? Whatever. Eicha, yashva, shlosha nitnabu. Three prophets said it. Moshe, Yishaya, v'Yirmiya. Moshe says, Eicha esa levadi in our parsha. How can I do those things alone? How can I deal with Am Yisrael by myself? I need help. Yishayahu says, Eicha ita lezona. And we read it in the Haftarah. Eicha ita lezona. How did Am Yisrael got to the level of being, I don't know how to say it in a nice word, but we all know what Zona is. And then, who is the third one? Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says, Eicha yashva badad. I'm not going to go through the whole Midrash, but the idea here is we have to understand what's the meaning of those three Eicha. There must be a meaning and a connection. Because when the Torah talks with the same word, there is a connection between things. So let's go back. Eicha that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is Eicha when Am Yisrael are in their greatness. And they are so great that Moshe Rabbeinu by himself cannot deal with them. This is beautiful. Eicha. Ucha Eicha esa levadi masa'achem v'rivchem. The second one is when Am Yisrael sinned and they became and they got to the lowest level they can. That's Eicha Haita Lezona. And the third one, Eicha Yashva Bada, that's the result already. The minute that Am Yisrael leave God, then we get, unfortunately, to sit by ourselves. And by the way, sitting by ourselves can be a good thing. Because what did Bilam HaRasha says? En Am Levada Dishkon Ubagoyim Lo Yitchashav. So Eicha Yashva Badad, is it good or bad? Because Bilam is blessing us. And Am Levada Dishkon Ubagoyim Lo Yitchashav. But that's exactly the point. When Am Israel Bagoyim Lo Yitchashav, when we go in our own way and don't listen to all the goyim, then we are, let's say, in a bdidut mazhira, in a loneliness of greatness, like a king sits on his throne and everybody knows this is the king. He is somebody who cannot touch. He sits by himself, or in other words, he is at a different level. And this is when Am Levadad Ishkon Ubagoyim Lo Yitchashav. But when we want to be like the goyim, then we still be lonely, but lonely in the bad option. If we want to see in history, Am Yisrael were living in a ghetto. What is a ghetto? A ghetto is a place where people with the same ideas, the same tradition, the same minhagim are living together in harmony. Like, if you want to be an example from our days, let's say Kfar Shmaryahu. Kfar Shmaryahu, very rich people live there. And when you say Kfar Shmaryahu, or you say Herzliya Pituach, sounds like, if somebody doesn't know, Pituach is Ayarat Pituach. It's a place of development. But Herzliya Pituach is not exactly Ayarat Pituach. And Kfar Shmaryahu is not exactly a kfar. It's not exactly, a village in nowhere. And if you say, I live in Kfar Shmaryahu, I'm talking about the materialistic world, of course, you will be proud to say it. Also in Ranana, you will be proud to say I'm in Ranana. But you live in Dimona, I don't know if you're going to be so proud. So in other words, if a group of good people is concentrated in the same place, because it's good for them, is it good or bad?
good.
It's good. Because you live with the same people like you, for example, especially with Jewish people. We keep kosher, we need shul, we need thing, and wherever you go all over the world, religious Jew live together. Because on Shabbos you cannot drive, and you want all the facilities around you, and it's very convenient, very good. In other words, a ghetto is really a good thing. And where was the first ghetto?
In Italy, it's an Italian
No,
word.
The first ghetto in the Bible. Goshen, Eretz Goshen. When Am Yisrael went down to Egypt the first time with Jacob, where did Joseph put them? In, of course, with the agreement of Pharaoh. In the best place of Mitzrayim, which was called Eretz Goshen. Why did he separate them? In order to keep them far away from the Tumah. And keep the pureness and the holiness that they had. In other words, this was a great place to be. Unfortunately, the minute that Am Yisrael wanted to get involved with the Goyim, the same as it happened in Egypt, it happens also in Europe. When Am Yisrael started to go in the laws of the Goyim, then they got a new ghetto. They thought they can mingle and mix with the Goyim and be a part of the world population like everybody. But God says, you are not like everybody. You are my children. You have a mission. You have to lead the world to a better place. So if you get involved with their behavior, you cannot lead the people to the better place because you become like them. But if you think you can do this, you're mistaken. And then the ghetto suddenly got a whole different aspect. And that is Eicha Yashva Badad. And Am Levadad Ishkon, very good. Bagoyim lo itchashav. But the minute you start thinking about the goyim and be a part of them, and you think you can mingle with them, what is God doing? Eicha Yashva Badad. Takes you apart from the goyim, but now you're going to suffer. That is not like looking at a king as a throne. This is looking at a slave, at the low life. And it all happened from Eicha Eishal Esa Levadi, from, let's say, being maybe arrogant, maybe being so proud that I am Jew, I'm this, and I am arguing and everything, and we all know this. You know, think about Moshe Rabbeinu who have to deal with all those clever Jews if they have a trial. No, he takes it. Oh, but the Gemara says this, and this says this, and this says that. How can you deal with this? But all leads, unfortunately, to one point.
Lo yitchashav. What does that mean? Bagoyim lo yitchashav.
Not taking any of their minhagim.
Oh, I see.
Lo yitchashav b'minhagim shelahem. You see, unfortunately, the influence of the modern world is very hard. And when we're talking about the Western culture, that's Bagoyim lo yitchashav. But we're all in it. And that's what's happening. You have to understand, whatever we talk, one of the ideas to understand and realize, what is the whole idea of fasting in Tisha B'Av? Some people think that that's the main thing. I'm fasting and I did it. So I can go on a trip, on a holiday, and can do. The main thing is fasting. No. The idea of fasting is that you will sit with yourself, and because you don't eat, you will start thinking. And you will start thinking, why don't I eat? Start thinking about the temple, Bet HaMikdash. And here is another unthinking, with Al Piyad Kabbalah, on the Kabbalah, when you go into it, the idea of the Khurban is not the Khurban of a physical temple. Because the physical temple is only a sign. In other words, if we will make the temple inside us good, the temple outside will be... What do we say? We believe that the third temple, are we going to build it?
No.
It's going to come from heaven. How? Oh. If we fix our hearts, if we fix our Mishkan inside, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring, because the idea is a spiritual idea. The stones got no meaning. The same as Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the two luchot and he breaks them. And the Midrash explained that the letters flow off the stone. In other words, the stone by itself has got no meaning if you don't believe in what's written on it. In other words, what we have to fix on Tisha B'Av is really the temple inside us. And it starts from Ahavat Chinam. Because unfortunately it all started with Sinat Chinam, which, where do you think started? In our parsha. In our parsha we see the Chet of the Meraglim, but now we see it in a whole different perspective, as we saw it a few weeks ago, when it looks like the Kodesh Baruch Hu is sending the Meraglim, and it's all being done by Moshe and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you don't even understand and realize the sin, because they did the job, they just said what they saw. But here in our parsha, you realize the problem.
I just wanted to say something. I had a very anti-Semitic teacher.
Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, I was a Zechro. And on Shabbat, when I was in school, he incited the class against me. And they were poking fun of me because I only wore skirts and no jeans.
Uh-huh.
And it was really a nasty piece of goods. So we had a meeting, all the classmates together, and we had another interesting point. In that class was a Muslim girl from Turkey with a headscarf and
nobody
everything.
Says anything.
Uh-huh. He never ever tormented her, bullied her, only bullied me.
Yeah, but it's our story.
And then a few years later, when our class met together, I got into a different class. And one boy said to me from the class, he did it to you because you are different.
You are different, yes.
Because I don't wear any trousers and I didn't come to school on Shabbat.
Yeah. That's our story all over. You see, the whole world is against us. While if you think about it, what is the percentage of the Jews in the world?
2%?
You know how many people are in India? How many people live in India? Billion? 2 billion? They have the rich people and poor people. And they have clever people and stupid people. Who talks about India? Nobody. Who talks about Israel?
Everybody.
Now, this is not from God? Of course from God. That's what we have to understand. That's the idea. With all those things happening, you have to understand logically, this is not logical. So in other words, who is standing behind it? God. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
Amen.
And when we really realize that God is behind it, we must feel much better. Because it means that we are in the best hand we can. And though it looks terrible, also the Churban, it's an unbelievable lesson, I wrote about it on the page. כשנכנס אב ממעטים בשמחה. What's the meaning? When אב comes in, what should I do? Reduce my happiness. And some of the Rabbonim says you have to be sad. But this is wrong. Because we know that everybody tells us, if you are a Jew, mitzvah gdola, liot besimcha, when?
Tamid.
In other words, you have to be happy all the time. So how could it be that you should be a part of the year, you should be sad? Says the Rav Adam Sina, in the name of the Rav Segal, says an unbelievable thing. Mishenichnas av mema'atim, ech mema'atim, besimcha. In other words, it says an unbelievable thing. When av comes in, and you are doing things that are causing you to enjoy less life. For example, you don't go to hairdressers, you don't wear new clothes, you're not allowed to say Shehechiyanu, and all the other morning minagim. How do you do it? He says you have to do it with happiness. That's being Jewish. Even if things are bad, a Jew is happy. He does it with happiness. And if you think about it, it's an unbelievable idea. Now, if you can do this, then you can get to the next stage to build the Bet HaMikdash. What is Bet HaMikdash? It's called also Bet HaBchira. What is Bet HaBchira?
House of choice.
House of choice. And this is also Al Pi HaKabbalah, an unbelievable idea. The real thing, the real building of the temple is the choice. We have to choose to choose. And we have to choose. And he says, even if you do things that you have to do, the mitzvahs you have to do. So why do you do them? Because I have to do. No. You have to do them because
God told you to do them.
No, because you want to do them. You choose to do them. That's Bet HaBchira. If you get to this level, you build the temple. How do you do it? With love. And I brought her a story. I don't know if you read it already. I brought her a story about Rav Eliashiv, that he brought a story from Rav Israel Salanter. It's really, to think about it, it's unbelievable. It says this, Rav Israel Salanter heard about a rabbi, a chosid, that one day went to the shopkeeper in town, one of the shops, and he offered him, go, I'm going to replace you for an hour, and you go to Beis HaMidrash and learn a little. He says, this is the chosid. Not only be concerned about the physical needs of your fellow man, also on your spiritual world, and be and try to, let's say, join together with your fellow man, not only with physical stuff, also with the spiritual stuff. Be willing to do his job, physical job, so he can go and do a spiritual job. This is unbelief. This is love. Because Talmud Torah keneged kulam. So I should sit and learn the whole day. But my friend there has to bring Parnosa home. He cannot sit and learn. So what do? I give him 1 hour for my time. In other words, it looks like I'm missing. I'm losing a part of my Talmud Torah. But I give it to this guy. This is a chassid. This is Ahavat Chinam. This is a level. Says Rav Eliashiv Zatzal. There's this famous story in a midrash that says about this guy who was walking on the street selling rochel. I don't know how you say rochel in English.
A peddler.
And he was shouting, who wants to buy life? Who wants life? Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim. I'm selling a special drug for life. And Rabbi Yana is sitting in his room learning. And he hears this, how do you say?
Peddler
outside shouting, selling a drug of life. So he came out, I want to buy. He says, no, it's not for you. He says, I want to buy. And he forced him. So he opens Sefer Tehillim and says, he told him, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yamim lirotov, netzor leshoncha me'ra usfatecha midaber mirma. Keep your mouth from talking badly. And Rabbi Yanai holds his head. All my life I was learning this thing and didn't understand what it means. The Gemara asks, sorry? Rabbi Yanai doesn't know what this is. This is a simple, every kid knows what this is. And the Rabbi Eliashiv explained an unbelievable thing. He says, till now, Rabbi Yanai thought that learning Torah is only where? In Beis HaMidrash, inside the walls, It's not a place outside. And now we learned that you can teach people Torah outside. Because this guy was shouting, who wants a drug of life? So everybody comes to him. Everybody wants a drug of life. And while they come to him, he taught them.
Netzor leshoncha
meira usfatecha midaber mirma.
What does mirma mean?
Sorry?
Mirma.
Mirma is cheating. Talking badly and cheating. Ramaut. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim, netzor leshoncha meira usfatecha midaber mirma. And of course, maybe not everybody, but he had the influence of a few of those people that never ever went into a Beis Midrash. This is chesed. This is ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. This is what this chassid did. He was willing. He missed 1 hour of learning in order to give it to his friend, to this shopkeeper that sits the whole day in the shop. Unfortunately, we have a lot to fix. And it all started in our parsha when we see in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Kaf Zayin, Vateragnu ba'olchem. Got it? I think it's going to be the only Pasuk we're going to look inside. But it is an unbelievable Pasuk. Perek Aleph, Pasuk 27. Vateragnu ba'olchem, vatomru. They were sitting in their tents and mumbling and talking. What did they say? Vatomru. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. Besinat Hashem otanu otzianu me'eretz Mitzrayim latet otanu beyad ha'emori la'ashmideinu. What did they say? In the hatred of God, he took us out of Egypt to kill us? This is sinat chinam, the top of sinat chinam. What did God do to Am Yisrael? Took them out of Egypt, made them miracles for 40 years in the desert. Bread from heaven. Water from a well of Miriam. Their clothes were not torn. Miracles and miracles and miracles the whole time. How can you say a thing like this? Besinat Hashem otanu? And they were crying. And God says, Atem chitem chia shel chinam? Ani iten lachem b'chiyah ledorot. You whipped for nothing, I'm going to give you a reason. And the reason is that the same night, you know what night it was? Tisha B'av. At the same night, the temple was destroyed. And it's unbelievable when we think about it. Why was the temple destroyed? Sinat chinam. Unbelievable. It's not only you whip for nothing. You whip and you had sinat chinam. And because of this sinat chinam, the temple was destroyed. In other words, the seed of the destruction was being put in earth here. So when God says, I'm going to give you a reason, it's not because God punished us. Think about it. It's because we had sinat chinam. And this sinat chinam was going inside and it popped out and the temple was destroyed. So how do we fix it? Avat chinam. One of the big questions when we talk about Tisha B'Av, there's discussion. Because the real truth is that the burning only started on Tisha B'Av. The main fire was on the 10th. So why do we fast on the 9th? Why not at the 10th? So I heard one a very interesting drasha from a rabbi in Antwerp. A shaliach from Israel, was a rabbi for a few years there. And he gave a beautiful explanation. He says, the mourning on the temple is very similar to the mourning on a relative that dies. But there is one difference. When a relative dies, the mourning is getting less and less and less. When we're talking about mourning on the temple, the mourning is getting more and more and more. And you have to understand what it's all about. The idea is very simple. First of all, as long as the temple is not built, we have to understand that who is the one to blame? We. Dor shelo nivna bet hamikdash beyomav, kiilu echrivo. So you cannot say, we've got nothing to do with it. We're not connected. And a lot of people think like this. We didn't do anything wrong. The temple was not destroyed in our lifetime. It was for 2,000 years ago. Well, what do you want from us? Okay, we're mourning because it's not here. But we are not connected. And that's the problem. How do we connect ourselves to understand and realize that if it's not built, it's our blame? Nobody else. Because as we say, the real temple is where? Inside each one of us. And if we build it, the temple, the physical temple, will rise. But in order to realize this, what did Chazal do? You cannot mourn the whole year. So you have certain minagim that we do the whole year, by the way. But to really mourning, Chazal decided 3 weeks. Shiva Asar v'Tamuz to Tisha B'Av. And the idea is that you start with certain minagim of mourning, which are not so difficult. And as you get close, when you go to the Rosh Chodesh Av, we stop eating meat and all a few other things. It depends, everybody with his minagim. And when it's the week of Tisha B'Av, it's getting even worse with the minagim. And on the day of Tisha B'Av, that's really the top level of mourning. Then we sit on the ground, we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't wash, we don't say hello to each other. And then the next day, we get up, and what? Go abroad, go to holiday, everybody, you see the airport is full the next day. But the next day was the main burning. Okay, so let's understand what's going on here. It says an unbelievable thing. The idea is that on Tisha B'Av, we have to get to the conclusion that who is the one to blame? And the fire is still burning. The next morning when you wake up, the fire is burning. And what is our job?
To be happy.
And what to do with the fire? And how do we do it? How do we stop the fire? Happiness and love. Understand who we are. We are the sons of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokechem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is our Father in heaven. And He wants us, He loves us. And He wants us to love each other. To love Him. But in order to love Him, we have to love each other. And when we love each other, and we choose, this is Bet HaBchira, and we choose to do the mitzvahs not because God ordered us to do it, because we choose to do it, not because we have to do it. And by the way, everything in life, if you do it this way, you live much better. Think about it. You have, we have everybody, each one of us got matalot, is how do you say, has things he has to do.
Assignments.
Assignments, each one of us. And how do you do those assignments? You do them because you have to do them. But let's think, if we do all those assignments because we choose to do them, what is this going to make our... How are we going to feel?
Free.
Much better. In other words, to worship God and to and be a part of the Torah and learning and keeping the mitzvahs has to be done. Mitzvah gdola liyot besimcha tamid. You do it Because you're happy. And how are you happy? Because you chose to do it. Not because you have to do it. It's like we say in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that we have to worship God because He is one, because it's the only one. So if it's the only one, there is no other option. That's exactly the point. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I love you, God, though I've got no other option. But if I would have had other option, who would I choose? Hashem. That's the way to worship God. I have to do the mitzvahs, but I don't do them because I have to, because I choose to do them. And this way, we are building the Beis HaMikdash. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll understand that the power is inside us, and the temple is inside us, and our job is to build our own temple inside. And this is Bet HaBchira, to be able to choose the right way. Do things not because we have to do them, because we choose to do them. We have to love God, but we do it because we want to love God. We do the mitzvahs not because we have to do them, because we want to do them. We choose to do them. And it all gets from Ahava, from love. Because only with love you can be happy, and only with love you can choose the right choice. So I wish that each one of us will know how to choose the right choice. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we build the Bet HaBchira. B'meirah B'yameinu. Amen.
Amen. I just wanted to say, Aaron.